Do you have your early season detection, protection, and prevention of corn nematode and crown rot figured out? That's what we're talking about in this episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
Welcome to Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve podcast, where real farmers share real insights and real results to help you improve your farming operation. This episode of Cutting the Curve is brought to you by Claas, where machines aren't just made, they're made for more. With a wide range of tractors, combines, foragers, and hay tools, Claas is a family business just as driven, demanding, and dedicated as yours. Go to Claas.com and start cutting your curve with their cutting-edge equipment. And now, here's your host, Damian Mason.
Hey there, welcome to another fantastic episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve. I've got David Reif. He's with a company called Vibe Crop Protection. We're talking about corn nematodes and crown rot, which he's actually going to explain crown rot to me because I got to figure out how this whole thing works. But the main thing here is if you want to maximize your corn yield in a year like this, you're going to want to do everything you can, spend as little as possible to get as big of a bang for your buck in a challenging environment like we're facing. How are you going to do that if you have disease issues? We're talking about early season detection, protection, and prevention of these two things. David, before we hit the record button, you said I want to really concentrate on corn nematodes and crown rot. So tell me a little bit about what goes on here. If I have these problems, they've probably already cost me yield before I even know it. So you said, do we need to talk about detection? So detection, protection, prevention, corn nematode, crown rot. Get me started.
Right. So,
by the way, David Reif is with Vibe Crop Protection. He's an agronomist. He's also a farmer in Michigan from the Saginaw Bay City, the area where the big, huge pin. Anyway, it's farm ground that a lot of people are like, they farm up there? Yes, they do, quite successfully. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a great area. A lot of great farm ground. I grew up on a corn, soybean, sugar beet farm and still help out there today. So always good to get in the fields for sure. So we can start with crown rot first as a topic. And a lot of farmers, it seems like as I go across the Midwest, so as an agronomist, I cover anywhere from, you know, Michigan down to Kentucky to Nebraska up to North Dakota. So I cover pretty much the entire Corn Belt. As I'm working with farmers, I hear more and more about crown rot problems, whether it's university extension talks or just, you know, talking to farmers in the field. Usually what that looks like is farmers they'll typically see ghosted plants later on in the season. So you start nearing those later season R stages, R5, R6, and you start seeing some, you know, basically white plants out in the field and that are dead. And if you have a early dying plant, what's that mean? Cost and yield, right? So typically that can be a problem with crown rot or some type of stalk rot earlier on in the season. And, you know, it shows up as a late season problem in terms of ghosted plants and lodging, which is no fun to combine down corn. But that infection really starts in the first half of the season. And usually your stressed plants, your challenging planting conditions, you know, here in the Midwest, cold soils, wet soils, you know, who waits for the ground to be 55 degrees to go plant corn? I know some growers that were planting April 12th.
You're part of the world up there. You know, you got Lake Huron, you got all that damp weather. I think even in July, your soil in Michigan isn't 55 degrees. Am I right?
That's true. It's I have these conversations with my brother every year. It's like, oh man, the weather's not right, but you know, it's May 10th. The calendar says go plant corn.
Is soil temperature at time of planting a reason that we get into things like crown rot?
It can be a part of it. So it's about stress on the plant, and cold soil temps basically means that corn is going to grow more slowly, germinate more slowly, take more GDUs to germinate, take more GDUs to get above ground. And it's just going to take longer for that plant to get established and get growing. Part of the thing with corn, it's got a fast growing root system. However, cold soils, you know, low phosphorus availability, low nutrient availability at that time. That's why you see a lot of that purpling of corn leaves. It just, if you have a slow growing plant, those fungal diseases in the soil, because it's a soil disease, can infect the plant And they basically harbor themselves in the crown and roots of that plant. And as the plant grows up later on, they start to cause these you know, stalk and crown problems that lead to lodging or ghosted plants later on in the season. So, you know, you might think of, you don't see it till the end of the year, but it's an early season problem. You know, when you contracted it or the plants got it, basically.
Okay, so you talked about then that's what happens long term. And what the yield drag on this? I mean, are we talking? It's probably safe to say, they're talking lodging and dead plants and 20%. What's the yield drag?
Yeah, I mean it varies on how severe, right? I mean it can be, I'm sure, a couple percent, a couple bushel to 20, 30 bushel.
All right. Detection, you just told me how I detect it once it's already obviously cost me yield and there's no grain going in my grain tank and my combine. Protection and prevention. When we said we're talking about early season disease and pest protection, it sounds like this is one of those an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure kind of thing. So preventing it from happening is what we're looking at doing, I presume.
Yeah, so like I said, plant stress is a big thing. It seems like a lot of the literature I've been reading is just keeping healthy plants, so having good foundational nutritional programs, and also targeting things like fungicide applications as well. Pretty much all of our seed goes in with fungicide seed treatments. However, fungicide seed treatments only last a couple of weeks, and you can still have a period of infection. You know, up till it's probably up until that soil and it gets warm enough to where that corn is growing fast enough to grow through any type of problems. So sometimes an over-treatment of a fungicide. So Vive offers one like called Asteroid FC 3.3, and we've seen good results and from farmers and from university folks of that product helping protect against crown rot or at least reduce the symptoms of it.
Got it. So, by the way, if you're listening to this, as most of you do, you're hearing some really good stuff. Again, he's an actual farm guy. He worked for one of the large chemical companies. He's been with Vive now for 3 to 4 years, and he's got actual in the field credentials. Here's what you're missing if you're listening versus watching. We're talking about corn specifically. He told me we're going to talk about corn. His backdrop is soybeans. His video backdrop right now is a soybean field. So why David did this, I don't know, but I encourage you, if you want to see sort of, I think it's to create this sort of conflict. Like, we're talking about corn, but the viewer keeps wondering, but why are there soybeans in the background? It's because it's probably the best picture he had on his computer. Anyway, he had
they're happy beans.
Yes, they look happy. Anyway, David and his wife just had a baby, so that's another thing. Congratulations to him. Early season disease and pest protection on corn. All right, we're talking about this stuff, corn nematode and crown rot. What can I do? Historically, seed treatment, right? Well, historically, nothing, you know? And then after that, we started, prevention of these two things has essentially been genetic or seed treatment, am I right?
Genetic hybrid traits, or not really traits, sorry, but hybrid selection and seed treatment have been about the only two options. You know, crop rotation can kind of help. However, typically your crown rot is a complex of diseases, so it can be rhizoctonia, can also be part of Pythium. Generally people focus on Fusarium as the primary driver, which there's like 8 different Fusarium species that can infect for crown rot. But soybeans are a host for Fusarium and Rhizoctonia and Pythium. You get up to the sugar beet country. You know,
okay, rotation doesn't prevent it.
Not totally, no. Okay. Not totally. It can help a little bit.
Then there becomes the issue of sometimes genetics. I can change seed that maybe has more resistance or maybe has worked better for me or worked better for the guy across the road, whatever that should be. And then there's seed treatment. But seed treatment does have its limitations in that a seed treatment doesn't hold the it holds the promise of prevention. It doesn't hold the reality of season-long prevention. Is that a good way of saying it?
Yeah, well, I'd say, I put it like this. Seed treatment protects a seedling. So you're talking, you know, small corn. There's that window from there to V5, V7, where you still have opportunity for infection. And this is where an over-treatment of an in-furrow fungicide like Asteroid from Five Crop Protection can help give you extended protection and residual there.
So is that what we're talking about? Is then the tank mix, and that's what we're going to get into, is because you're talking about doing this at time of planting. I mean, we're not talking about going over the top. You want to talk about a preventive measure that can be done on May 10th when I roll those planters, or on April 23rd when I roll those planters. That's what you're telling me we're going to do, right?
Right. Okay. Right. It's an early season problem.
All right. Well, I want to hear about preventing it in the early season. Before I do that, I want to tell you, my dear friends, about Nature's. Nature's is a company that actually David knows about, and you should too. They're one of our business partners here at the business of, I'm sorry, at the Extreme Ag Cutting the Curve, and they're one of our business partners at Extreme Ag. Nature's is focused on providing sustainable farming solutions and helping maintain crop genetic potential for today and future generations. Nature's high-quality liquid fertilizers powered by Nature's Bio-K can be targeted at specific periods of influence throughout the growing season via precision placement techniques as a means to mitigate plant stress, enhance crop yield, and boost your farm's ROI. Go to natures.com. So anyway, the answer is, if I can do something at time of planting and it does more than just seed treatment, it gets me to the V5s and the V7s of the crop cycle. And you've got a solution that is done at time of planting, and it goes in my fertility mix. It goes in furrow.
Right. And I actually want to focus on the commercial you just said, because with Nature's
Row or other commercial, Paul Harvey did Wells Lamont gloves, and it just sounded like he was really a big fan of Wells Lamont gloves, but it was actually a commercial. Mine didn't sound like a Wells Lamont gloves commercial by Paul Harvey.
That's before my time.
I know. You're 33 years old. Paul Harvey was like dead and gone by the time AM radio. You even know what that is?
I know what that is.
Anyway, so David, go ahead and give it to me. Focusing on what I just said about Nature's, and then bring it forward to our big topic, early season protection, and more importantly, prevention of the corn nematode and crown rot.
Right. So you talked about precision placement of nutritional products in the furrow on the seed, so it's ready and available to reduce plant stress. And we talked about how plant stress is a big piece of getting of keeping that plant resistant to infections of Fusarium, Rhizoc, and Pythium, because a healthy plant, in my opinion, is a more resistant plant to those problems.
No question.
With fertility, it can be challenging to add additional products. So the one reason farmers haven't used a lot of crop protection products in furrow, other than a few, there's only a few out there that are like LFR, LFC type compatible products. And so, you know, your foliar options are vast, but your in-furrow options are few. And when it comes to fungicides, especially for corn growers, very, very few options on the market today. And that's because fertility is exceptionally challenging to mix with. And this is where Vive Crop Protection has helped solve a problem. All of our products, because of our patented nanopolymer technology, allows us to mix our products with our fungicides, our insecticides, our nematicides with your pop-up fertility, because I've been on a farm, I've plugged a planter, and it's not a fun day. And there's usually a couple curse words that are involved with that.
You get nervous when you start talking about throwing stuff in the fertility at time of planting mixture, because yeah, like you said, is it going to make it like syrup? Is it going to make it so that all of a sudden the stuff can't, you know, we're going to hold this up? And as you said, when it's finally go time, even if the soil temperature is not at 55, you know, next week's weather forecast is amazing. By God, let's get those planters rolling. Oh, we can't, because Junior stuck something over here in the fertility tank, and now we've got a bunch of maple syrup.
Yeah, right. And yeah, that's not a fun day. Like I said, I've been there. Anyway, so Vive Crop Protection, we've actually been able to help solve that problem. So we're bringing new products and tools for farmers. Again, we've got stuff that can help farmers with crown rot. We've teamed up with some other farmers and done trials. Like I was at a field in Ohio this year where we placed a trial. The farmer gets crown rot like year after year in this field. He's like, man, if I could find something that could help me here. And we did an asteroid trial. He's like, you know, I went out, I physically saw fewer ghosted plants out in the field at harvest time. And I was shocked at how well it did for just keeping the crown of that plant healthy, the stalk of that plant healthy. And he said, again, it was a new option for him to help manage his crop a little bit differently than maybe he had been able to do before. But if we want to switch gears off crown rot and start talking about nematodes, because that actually can play into that as well. So, I mean, the way fungus can infect on its own without a wound, right? But what do nematodes and say corn rootworm, for example, what do? They're chewing. They're chewing on your root system, which also opens up an opportunity for fungal
diseases. I'm sorry, you were asking me the question. I'm sorry.
I was.
Dear listener, I just missed that. I'm sitting here drinking my ice water, glancing down at my notes, and I'm like, wait a minute, did David just ask me a question? I'm not the agronomist here. I'm the question asker. But, okay, so your point being that something that's fungal versus something that is in the soil degrading my root structure, probably you need two different, completely different applications or treatment styles or modes of action, I think was the where you were leading with that question. Am I right, David?
Right. And it just, if you have bugs munching on your root system, it can open that plant up for infection.
Once you weaken the plant, you've degraded its flow of nutrients, etc. So okay,
yeah, and
I don't mind you asking me questions, by the way. I mean, it makes it more interesting for the viewer and listener when you ask me questions. That's fine.
Yeah, it's like the interview the interviewee kind of thing, right?
So what do you got here then on nematodes? You're still talking about if we can do something in the tank mix at time of planting, the question that the listener is going to have right now is, all right, well, you already talked about seed treatment not having longevity. How is it you're telling me that you're going to handle this and have longevity? I think that's going to be the, if I'm playing the naysayer or the devil's advocate, that's the question I'm going to come out with.
Yeah. And I'll go one step further if you don't mind, because,
It's your air, man.
Well, growers are pretty familiar with soybeans as nematode. Yep. You know, that's pretty ubiquitous across the U.S. and every farmer deals with that in some form or fashion. Corn nematodes, on the other hand, are much less well known, and it seems like the more conversations I have, the more fields I get into, the more problems I see from corn nematodes becoming more and more of a challenge. One of our sales managers in the Midwest, he used to sell counter insecticide back in the day, you know, organophosphate. He's like, you know, I bet we sold more counter in one county of Iowa today, or sorry, we sold more counter in one county of Iowa back when I sold counter than we do in the entire state anymore today. And counter is actually really good nematicide. So it's not only a corn rootworm product, but it's actually a nematicide. And so just the reduction in organophosphate use, carbamate use, has, I believe, helped bring some other challenges to the surface, like corn nematodes. They've always been there. They've just been suppressed for several years, and now they're, you know, coming back into the fold, right? And they can cause, again, it's one of those things that you don't know you have it until you figure out it's a problem.
Yeah, and then you've already lost yield. And when you're discovering that is when? When do I, David, when do I discover that I've got a nematode issue?
Usually it's Well, as the first time farmer, it's probably when you're going through with a combine and you see, you know, corn that's half the size of everything else. And then the first thing you do is either blame
it on
talking
about the plant. You're talking about the ear. You're talking about the ear is half the size.
It's ears half the size. It stunts the ear, but also stunts the plant. It does both. I mean, it stunts the plant, which in turn stunts the ear. Okay. But as a farmer, the first thing you think of is not nematodes in corn. You think of fertility. You think of disease. You think of corn rootworm. You think of other problems, not nematodes.
Yep.
And the best way to test and detect is if you've got some hot spots in your field that you just know are, you know, typically sandy areas are a good source for nematodes, but they don't always have to be in sand. I would target, you know, you look at your end of year yield map. And if you've got some hot spots that you just, no matter what you do, you cannot seem to get those things to yield better. I would start looking at nematodes. And the best time to sample for that is sometime when that corn's around that, you know, V5, V8 timeframe, you know, it's 40, 60 days after planting.
We talked about detection, and that's not really your thing. Vive doesn't do your company doesn't produce a detection method. Is that how do I detect for nematodes? I'm trying to think about how do I know if I have them at that, even though before the combine runs, what's my detection method?
Soil sampling. That's your best method. So go to your areas of the field that you know are stunted, shorter, look a little bit rougher. You take soil cores at the base of the plant, so in the row, and you got to send those off to, you know, a handful of nematode labs across the country, and that's how you know. But you know, for that season, you're too late to do anything. So you know, if you're confident that you have nematode problems, there are things like seed treatment. Again, they only last so long. And so Vive again offers we offer a corn and furrow nematicide called Averland FC, and that corn growers have been really happy with that. So growers in Nebraska, Colorado, Kansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, those are generally the hot spots that we think about for corn nematodes, Georgia too, but again, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, the more fields I go to, the more, and we dig samples and send them off to a lab, the more times than not we find levels that are moderate to high. And that's about when you are going to have, you know, some yield reduction. And it can be, you know, 3 bushel to 10 bushel to more severe cases.
So it's interesting. So we're starting to see it everywhere. As far as the prevention goes, all right. So, and we're not in any way doing commercial here, but we're talking about, you've got products that go in my at time of planting, and your confidence level, and you're a farmer. If you had to go to your business partners in the Michigan farming operation, say, I'm telling you, use this stuff and it lasts year long. There's going to be a BS meter. There's going to be a, yeah, great, I don't believe you. I don't know if I need it is the first one. Why do I spend this money? I'm not sure I even have this problem. And there's going to be two, even if I use it, I'm not sure that it's still going to be around in July. I think that those are the two things that my skepticism would go to first. Am I right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and no product season long. If there was such a thing, it would probably not be approved by the EPA. So, you know, we think about yield at the end of the year.
Yep.
For any farmer that's working on these contest fields or pushing their yields as hard as they can, they know that yield starts when they plant the seed in the furrow. Yep. And where I'm going with that is that if you have problems, because nematodes are a problem before July. That's when they are a problem. They're a problem in the first half of the season, because as the top of the soil surface starts to dry out, they go deeper away from the root zone and they become less active. So they're most active earlier on in the season and in those early vegetative stages. So if you don't get a good root system underneath that plant early, you're obviously not going to achieve top end yield. So with Averland FC specifically, we target those first 40 plus days of that plant for a residual standpoint from nematodes, just to kind of help that plant get to a size. Again, it's a corn has a big can have a big fibrous root system to where it grows ultra fast, and if you can get it to a point where it can outgrow the nematodes faster than they can have any type of problems, you at that point you won't see yield drag. But before that, stunted ears, yield drag. So,
all right. So, tell me about the problems that you think you overcome of putting stuff in. There's a lot of stuff that's supposed to happen at time of planting, David. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, these guys, extreme ag guys, they're putting out 10, 12, 13 different things at time of planting, and you just want me to add another one, and you want me to add it into my fertility mix. Your answer to me is going to be no compatibility issues. Is that across the board?
So we can't make other things mix better, but our stuff will mix with dang near everything you throw in that tank.
Is that the only way I can use your product? Is the only way for me to use your corn nematode or crown rot prevention products? Is it the only way I can use it to go into my fertility mix at time of planting, or can I use it subsequently down the season?
So you can use it in furrow, but also fully early. It's just our shining star there is the ability to mix with your fertility, because there's just so few products that can actually do that.
Absolutely. Okay. And then what products am I putting in my furrow for corn nematode prevention?
It's called Averland FC. And it's a... it's just a nice, easy to use product. So planting, it's as much agronomics as it is operational efficiency for farmers. So again, growing up on a farm, I know what a springtime planting season is like. When you've got your window to plant, you've got to go plant. And if you have any, a lot of farmers I come across, they hate mixing stuff. They hate filling up the planter. They hate anything that causes them 30 extra seconds that can hold them up from getting back in a tractor and putting more corn in the ground. Yeah. And that's where Vive products really shine, is they can help with not only usability, but also operational efficiency, and they're good agronomic products for the farmer.
I know that you're the agronomist, and so maybe we're not supposed to talk about money, but the person listening to this, you and I know farmers, and we are farm guys, you and I both. They're right now saying, all right, I might have a nematode problem. I might be experiencing that yield drag. I might have a crown rot issue that I've seen before. How much am I going to spend on this to go into my fertility mix at time of planting? And so I'm right now starting to weigh the cost benefit.
Yeah, that's always a great question. I've been watching, I don't know, I look at my commodity price app as probably as much as I look at my weather app. And if you're a farmer, you probably know how many times a day you look at those. Corn prices are receding, same with soybean prices. And, you know, there was a farmer sentiment out there, or a farmer barometer, that said net farm income is going to drop by 25% this year compared to last year. Yeah. So, you know, pinching your pennies is always one thing that we look to do first. And with Vive crop protection products, I guess first thing I'll say is, what's going to cost you more, crown rot nematode problems or an input to help protect you from those? And I think we know that answer. You know, you got to grow in these times and situations, you have to grow the most efficient, effective crop that you possibly can to overcome low prices. Yeah. And some Vive products for the right farm can help you do that. Vive products, I would say, are also priced very, very well to the market. So a lot of our chemical active ingredients that we use are post-patent. So there's some price reduction because of that. And I would say, you know, there's a par.
Does $10 an acre get it done?
$10 an acre
gets it done. All right.
Give or take.
And when you talked about temperature, this is kind of silly, but are there any other things when I think about, yeah, I'm admitting here, maybe my detection hasn't been amazing. I haven't dug up the soil and sent it off to one of the sample, you know, everybody does soil samples. Not everybody, but most people have moved to the point where they're doing soil sampling, but they're doing it for the macros and maybe even the micros. They're not doing it. You know, one of my things would be, it costs money to know. And if I'm trying to cut back, but I don't know if that's a place to cut back, because knowing that you have this problem out there, then you can manage for it. You can't manage what you don't measure, all that. You can't measure what you don't manage, all that kind of talk. Well, you also can't manage for what you don't even know. So what's your recommendation? Do we start by, do we go out and say, I've got to be sampling for corn nematode?
I'd say is that from a farm to farm basis, you got to do some, you got to do the looking in the mirror test and asking yourself those questions. If you, you know, have you had some challenges on some farms that you just cannot seem to figure out? Because nematodes, it seems like is the route that tends to show up in those situations.
Okay.
Yeah, it is difficult because you're still talking about adding $10 an acre to your bottom line, and we want to make every single dollar count as farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't have those problems or if you're unaware, you have to look at your field maps, look at your yield monitor, look at your agronomics for your farm, look at your cropping history. You know, could this be a problem on my sandy soils? Could this be a problem on my, you know, corn on corn for 30 year ground? And think about your operation and how you manage it and see if that's something that you, if you don't know you already have that problem, you just need to really think about your farming operation and if that could be a challenge.
What else do I, okay, so you're saying I would get the sampling done. You're saying you would do it, obviously, on the places where you're suspicious. Well, that makes sense,
yeah.
Right? You're not going to do whatever. And then once I do that, and if I think the target here is especially if you've seen seed treatment limitations. Because I think that's, if I'm sitting here as even the skeptical listener, I'm thinking, you know what? I think that I gotta do something beyond seed treatment. And I think that's where the products that you're talking about play. But am I thinking clearly?
Correct. So from a fungicide standpoint, yes. From a nematicide standpoint, you know, that's usually an additional tack-on charge from seed companies to add on a nematicide seed treatment. I'd say from an Averland FC standpoint, it gives you as a farmer more freedom to, instead of managing all your totes of seed and which seed bag goes in which farm, you can just choose whether or not to add Averland to your in-furrow mix on that farm or not. So it gives you, in my opinion, a little bit easier flexibility to manage the chemical that you put in for the field versus trying to manage all your seed lots and your pro boxes and that logistical mess along with it there.
You talked about the ease of planting, and once it's go time, it's go time. I mean, how many ounces per acre? When I'm talking about juicing my my fertility tank, that's got so many other things. You know, I've got so many things on. I've got in-furrow. I've got the 2x2. I've got, you know, so much stuff happening on my planter. Am I talking about a huge quantity, or how from a logistical standpoint, what are we talking about, David?
Yeah, for 30-inch row corn, we're talking 6 ounces of Averland FC and 4.2 ounces of Asteroid FC in the furrow. So it's you know, pretty low yeast rate.
I need one of those, or I need both of those?
Well, it depends on what you're going for. If you want to focus on crown rot, plant health, early season plant health, Asteroid FC 3.3. If you are concerned with nematodes, and sorry, going back to crown rot as well with Asteroid. If you are concerned about nematodes, then you want to add in Averland. If you're not so much concerned about nematodes, you know, you don't have them as a challenge on your farm. You know, Averland may or may not be the right choice for your acre.
Got it. Get me out of here. We talked about detection, protection, and prevention of corn nematodes and crown rot specifically. Your assessment, and you get out there, it's becoming more of an issue. The nematode issue is becoming more of an issue, even in historically places that it wasn't an issue.
Yeah. So I'll just give you an example of this summer. We were in a field, corn on corn, several years. It was in Iowa. And
they do that in Iowa? They produce corn following corn, yeah. Following corn, following corn. They
believe
do that?
Believe it or not, yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, so the grower, you know, you ask him, you know, have you ever had a history of nematodes? First answer, no. You know, I don't have a problem, right? It's always the typical response. And you know, this was dark ground. It was good loamy soil ground. The field looked fantastic. It was nice, green, and we took soil samples just because we were like, yeah, let's just see what's down here. And the nematode populations came back at moderate to high levels on the farm, and we actually had an Everland trial out there, believe it or not. And you could visually see it on the NDVI map. So I looked at like a climate field view NDVI map, and you could visually see it, you know, from the field level, you couldn't see any difference whatsoever, but from a NDVI imagery map, you could clearly see the difference. And the farmer was pretty, pretty shocked at the end of the year. When he took the combine through, he's like, you know, I would have never guessed I had a problem. And guess what? It was costing them, you know, 5, 10, 15 bushels.
Yeah, so that's one big takeaway here. I said you're going to get me out of this. And so when you look at the product you have here, and the way you go to, you know, you about using this, are you being chased? I mean, this is kind of like, there's not a lot of products that go about taking care of this problem this way. Am I right?
That's very true, especially a company that's very focused on bringing new products here. You know, some other companies try to dabble in this space, but spend all their time elsewhere. So are we being chased by other chemical companies? Yeah. Some companies have tried to do what we do and, you know, frankly, are just unable to do it as well as Vive. And that's just because our technology is so unique, and it's for the farmers that have used Vive Prep. Yeah, I'll try to close it with this. We do a yearly survey of respondents and what they think of our products, and 95% of the time it comes back as a, you know, 4 or 5 out of 5 and stars, you know. And farmers say they'll reuse our products, and they'll say they recommend them to a friend. So it's the customer satisfaction rate has been off the charts, which is, as a farmer myself, is really cool to see. And you just don't get that in the industry every day anymore.
I like that. And then, because I don't want anybody to think that we're out here just being hucksters, who shouldn't use it? I'm an Indiana farm guy. Why do I not need to use it? Because I think it's very powerful to say, here's when you should, here's when you shouldn't. Here's when you should consider this. Here's when you probably don't need to consider it. Be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for Asteroid, we'll focus on that. Early planting, cold soils, challenging planting conditions, that's when I would use it. You know, if you're planting May 20th and the soil's 60 degrees and you're late in the season and you know it's just going to come shooting up out of the ground, yeah, probably not going to be a challenge. Probably don't need to spend the money.
Got it. His name's David Reif. The company's called Vive. You can find them at vivecrop.com. vivecrop.com. David, I appreciate you being on here. He's a Michigan farm guy, Michigan State grad, agronomist, and just had a new baby. So congratulations to you.
Thanks, Damien. Much appreciated.
Yeah. So next time, thanks for being here. If you want to take your learning to the next level, remember you can become a member of Extreme Ag for just $750 a year. You get direct access to the guys for question and answer platforms. We'll go a little deeper on a subject. You get free offers, like you go to Commodity Classic, for instance, from one of our business partners, Nature's, who I already talked about earlier in this podcast. You know what else you get? You get data. At the end of the year, these guys tell you about their plots, their trials, what they did, what worked, what didn't, the rates they used, how they used them, the timing, etc. So you get all that access to information. $750 a year. It's worth it. If you farm 750 acres, that's $1 an acre, for God's sakes. You probably can justify this investment. Till next time, thanks for being here. His name's David Reif. The company's called Vive. Vivecrop.com is where you find them. I'm Damian Mason. Till next time, Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
That's a wrap for this episode of Cutting the Curve. Make sure to check out extremeag.farm for more great content to help you squeeze more profit out of your farming operation. Cutting the Curve is brought to you by Kloss, where machines aren't just made, they're made for more. Visit kloss.com and start cutting your curve with cutting-edge equipment.